Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. Uh-oh, we're having technical difficulties. Ronan, I can hear myself. Everything I say, I can hear. Let it pass. Okay. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I'm here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams. Yes, it stopped. Thank you, Ronan. So you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. How amazing to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. So these are unusual times. I am doing the show from home for the foreseeable future. You can listen to this live on LA Talk Radio. You can also watch me live on Instagram. I'm going to do all of these on Instagram Live, so you can see the show if you would like. Okay, so if you would like to call in and talk with me today, the number is 818-602-4929. A little bit of a different number. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of compulsive eating, any kind of problematic eating, the real problem isn't food. The real problem is what is eating at you. Okay, so someone in my Facebook community recently wrote that she doesn't feel good enough because she's not living up to her potential in terms of her career. This feeling not good enough is directly tied to something we've been talking about lately in the last few shows, which is it's related to shame. Shame references who you are as a person. So here's what to do if you don't feel good enough because you're not living up to your potential, or you don't have a job that you think is really commensurate with your talents, or you're not getting paid enough, or whatever it is. First of all, detach what you do from who you are. We all want other people to admire what we bring to the table. We all want people to admire, or acknowledge whether who we are and what we do, whether it's on the job or at home, in our community, in the world. But what happens if they don't like our contribution? What happens if people say, meh, okay, you did that, so... Or they say, could have done better, or who knows what they might be saying. If your self-worth is attached to what you create or offer, if your self-worth is only attached to what you create or offer, then you could be devastated when other people don't respond. You can feel a sense of shame, acute shame, that causes us to retreat. I'm not putting myself out there. Or lash out at yourself. Tell yourself, oh, such an idiot. It's the last time I give that suggestion in the meeting. Or that's the last time I go for a new job. Or, whatever it is. And then you beat yourself up. You feel like you're not good enough. You lash out at yourself. You feel terrible. And then, boom, you start turning to food to get away from your own mean voice. Right? You're going to feel, if you're mean to yourself, how do you get away from yourself? Well, one way is binging. One way is using food to just numb out. So that's why it is so important to be nice to yourself. When you're nice to yourself, what happens? You feel better. Jose is telling me, oh, he's in Mexico City. My hair looks beautiful. Thank you. I did it myself. I'm so proud of myself. Thanks, Jose. And hi from LA. So if our self-worth is tied to what other people think of us, we could be crushed, because here's the deal. It's a horrible thing, but not everybody likes us. Not everybody likes us, not because of who we are, but because of who they are. And if we look at the people who don't like us or don't acknowledge us or don't validate us and tie our self-worth to that, then we're going to feel devastated. Then there's no kind of core sense of self that carries through that you have no matter what other people think. So that's why, as far as shame goes, as far as feeling good enough goes, it truly is an inside job. Because when you feel good enough, no matter what is happening on the outside, when you feel like you're good, then what other people think does not matter as much. We may not like it. We may not like when someone says, hey, you know, that what you did was not good, or I didn't like what you did, or you were okay, or it wasn't so great, or whatever it is. We don't like it. Who likes that? Nobody likes that. But then it won't be tied to a sense of self, and it won't be tied to a sense of shame about you. When we define ourselves only by what we do, we put the power of our self-worth and our happiness in the hands of other people. And that is not something we want to do. No. We've got to separate what we do from our total sense of self-worth. And, you know, when your whole identity isn't on the line, you're going to be freer to take risks, to be innovative, to be more creative, to do things that if you're worried about failing or about being judged, you're not going to do. When you're less worried about that, freedom. You could do so much more. You can do things that you want to do without worrying about what other people are going to think. And yeah, you know what? You may be disappointed at times if other people don't like what you do or if they don't acknowledge it, but it won't be so soul crushing. It won't go to a place of shame. So you can look at both praise and condemnation with the perspective of, okay, Is that praise feels good? Thank you very much. It sort of goes with what I feel about myself. Yay. Or if someone doesn't like what you're doing, or you just say, okay, you know what? Let me think. Is there anything about what they're saying? Is there anything about their criticism that has validation? Let me look at that. But it's about what you're doing and not who you are. So important. The other thing to do in terms of shame is to recognize your triggers. Shame hits us where we are most vulnerable. So, for example, if you are doing something you've never done, and if someone questions what you're doing, then it feels terrible. If you're creating something artistic, a song, a picture, a painting, a photo, whatever, and someone doesn't have like a positive response to it, then it can make you question what you're doing if you take it to a place of shame. But if you take it to that's their opinion, it doesn't feel so crushing. And often we absorb the criticism from others. How does this relate to food? Well, we absorb other people's criticisms when we don't have a sense of self that's really solid within us. So then whatever someone else says it's critical, we start saying it to ourselves. Someone else says, don't love that. We start saying to ourselves, see, it's not good enough. As if it's only good enough if someone else thinks it is. Is it good enough for you? Check this out. Many, many years ago, Picasso, who tell me if I'm wrong, but I think he is the most highest, I think he's the highest paid, the highest value painter. Right now, you know, to get a Picasso, you got to shell out some bucks, right? You got to be a trillionaire. But at the time that he first started and he was painting women with, you know, three eyes and two heads and painting them green or blue or whatever, people thought this was crazy. They said, this is not art. How can this be art? This is not art. What is this? Or even the time of the Impressionists. Now we look back at Monet and Manet and even Renoir and but especially Monet and Manet, very, very impressionistic. And at the time, there were a lot of people who said, this is not art. What is this? Well, thankfully, these artists did not pay attention to those. Oh, adding a caller, says Ronan. Okay. Caller, are you there? Hello? Okay. Wait, not yet. Okay, I'm going to keep talking. So thankfully, Monet, Manet, Picasso, and countless other artists decided that what made them happy, their art, was what was important, not what other people thought. If they listened to what other people thought.
Has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
If they listened to what other people thought, sorry, I'm getting messages from Ronan. We are still kind of working out the kinks of me not being in the studio. Nobody's in the studio. The studio is shut down. So all of the hosts are working from home, and there's a little bit of a technology curve. So bear with me. Can I speak something about, please? Jose is saying, Jose, I think you're missing a word. He says, can you speak something about, please? So I'm not sure what you're asking. Can you, Jose, can you rephrase that? And I know Jose, by the way, who's Soyed Studio New York. If you're on Instagram, check out his incredible designs. You know, Jose is doing things that you're not necessarily seeing out there. Lots of places, lots of people wearing it, right? But he has his incredible vision. He's a fashion designer, and he's putting his work out there. And Jose, you know, when people, I'm sure some people love what you're doing, and some people might not get it. And, you know, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with criticism? Share. He's on Instagram right now, so I will share if he gets back to me. And hopefully our caller will come back as well. So it's so important to be the one, the decider of, what do you think? Does this make you happy? Is it good enough for you? If the world is doing, you know, a certain kind of art and you're trying something else, the world is not going to validate you. They're going to go, what's that? What is that? Eventually, in time, they're going to validate you, hopefully, like they did with Picasso. But it has to come from within. What do you think? That's what matters the most. So I was saying that it's important to recognize your triggers. When it comes to shame, you know, we are so easily shamed.
Hi, this is Nicole. I'm unable to get to the phone now. Please leave me a message.
Nicole, for some reason, what I just heard was your voicemail. So I think Ronan is trying to call you. Nicole, if you are listening, I think Ronan is trying to call you back, and it keeps going to your voicemail. So maybe try calling back in. Ronan, should she try calling back in? Or Nicole, are you there? All right, you are welcome, Jose. I speak my truth. So, Brené Brown did a lot of research, and Nicole, Ronan is going to call you. Ronan is going to call you. So hopefully we'll get you connected here and you could ask your question. So, Dr. Brené Brown, who, as you know, has done a lot of research on shame and vulnerability. And she's discovered what she calls a lot of different shame categories. And the primary shame trigger for women remains physical appearance. For men, it's the fear of being perceived. Hello, Nicole.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
I am fine. I'm glad we got you all connected.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm going to do what I did last time, which is kind of, you're going to share with me and I'm going to share with the audience on Instagram what you're asking.
Okay. So there's so much. I don't know where to start. Okay, I guess the first thing is, I think there's still this thing where, so yesterday my sister, I'm staying with my boyfriend, my sister came over and she made this comment like, how did you get a flat stomach? You've never had a flat stomach. And like, it just...
Nicole.
Yeah, in a way...
Nicole, yeah. I have to stop you because your sister came over? Why is your sister coming over? That is unsafe. Oh. No sister should come over. We got to stop the spread of this virus, you guys. Like, we have to stay away from each other, even if, you know, it's the only way to stop the spread, because you don't know where your sister has been. She comes into your house. She gives it to you. You don't know, right? So I hope not, but that's the possibility.
We've both been quarantining, so we've both been kind of not exposed to anybody else.
Okay, I'm concerned, you know?
Yeah.
I get concerned, so...
Yeah, no, absolutely. And appreciate that.
So here's the thing. You and your sister were both raised by your mother. Your mother is preoccupied. For those of you who have listened to the show for any time, you know that Nicole's mother will say some kind of Farsi expression, which means I should be dead. I should have dirt on my head. Yeah. I should be dead because I ate that cookie. So your mother is preoccupied with weight. What did I just say, right? Brene Brown said the primary shame trigger for women is physical appearance. So the way to deal with these comments is to ban any talk of body size, weight, food. So when your sister comes over and says, oh my God, how did you get such a flat stomach? You say, before I say it, you tell me what you think you might want to say.
I'm not engaging in any talk about appearance or weight. Let's talk about something that actually matters.
Okay, so you guys, what she said was, I got to share it. It's so good. I got to share it. I can't give the applause because I'm not in the studio, but if I could, I would give you the giant stadium applause going, awesome, good for you. Because what she just said was, guys, what Nicole just said was, if her sister says something about her body, she's going to say, I am not going to engage with any conversation about my body or food or weight or any of that. Let's talk about something else that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know her response to me is going to be like, oh, why are you being secretive? You don't want to share. You don't want to share how you got a flat stomach.
Okay, so
I already know the rebuttal.
So her sister's going to say, what? Why are you being so secretive? You don't want to share why you got this flat stomach? And you're going to say, I'm not being secretive. I am setting limits because that is something, again, I am not going to engage in this talk.
Yeah. And then it's like, and then she'll like look in the mirror and she'll be like, oh, is this a skinny mirror? Is this a fat mirror? Like, just so much of the conversation, you know, revolves around that. So, okay, I'm going to set limits from now on.
I just want to share because no one can hear you. I've got to kind of
share
it. So, what she's saying is then her sister will look in the mirror and say, is this a skinny mirror or is this a fat mirror? So you could see how preoccupied your sister is with physical appearance. Yeah. What you do with someone, when someone is like that, what you do is you say, you totally don't answer them. You say, so, you know, how are you doing in this age of coronavirus?
Deflect? Okay.
How are you doing? Totally deflect. Just think about, how's work been? How's working from home been?
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then thank you. That's helpful. And then the other thing is, you know, there's two things. One is I really feel like my mood is different. Like, I know we've talked about
I feel lovable when I'm skinny and not lovable when I'm not. But really, my mood is dramatically affected by like even 1 or 2 pound fluctuations, even though I'm not going on the scale, like even okay. like looking at my size or like, yeah.
Okay, so she's saying her mood is, and Jose, I'm seeing your question. I'm going to answer that after I talk with Nicole. So Nicole is saying that if she, even though she's not going on the scale, if she feels heavier, her mood plummets. Well, what we know, yeah. Nicole, what we know is that for you, gaining weight is like, it brings you back to that time of shame in your childhood when you were the chubby kid.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, and again, this relates completely to shame. You were the chubby kid who felt as if she was not good enough. Again, shame, as if there was something wrong with her. That's been tied to your weight. The reality is when you were a chubby kid, there was never anything wrong with you. But you felt as if there was because of your mother's preoccupation and I would say obsession with weight. So when your mood plummets because you feel like you've gained a little weight or you feel puffy or whatever, it's taking you back to a place of shame. And your job is to challenge that.
How?
I am not less than because I'm puffy. There's nothing wrong with me because I feel a little bloated. That's an idea that I took as truth, you tell yourself. I took that idea as truth, and it's not. You got to respect it as an idea, not a reality.
Okay. Right. Okay, I can try to do that. I'm going to work on that one. So deflect and setting boundaries with my sister and not talking about it and saying I'm not going to engage in that kind of conversation and talking about something else. And then on the other side, set limits.
Yeah, set limits and deflect.
And the other one is challenge that idea that I'm less than because I feel puffy or because I feel like I gained 1 or 2 or 3 pounds. I have one more thing. Yes.
Okay, one more question. Of course.
Okay. Okay. So I don't want to say I'm feeling anxiety about this, but okay. So I've talked to you a lot about, moving out of my parents' house and moving in with my boyfriend and all that type of stuff. And
Wait. I got it. Okay. So Nicole is saying that her question has to do with some conflict about, she has some concerns about what to do, leave her parents' house or move into her boyfriend's house. Or get her own place.
Yeah. So I know that my mental well-being is much better. I'm mentally better when I'm not at home with my family.
She's mentally better when she's not at home with her family. Very important to note.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I've been getting all this stuff from my mom and my aunt and just like from family that I'm being too easy and I need to have my boyfriend work for me and I'm giving him everything and not that it's not appropriate, but that I'm making it too easy for him and that he needs to do more to have me. And so I know that
Who says your boyfriend needs to do more to have you? Aren't you already boyfriend girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay, quick little story. I've told you this story before, but not everyone has heard this story.
Yeah.
This sounds a lot like The Rules, which is play hard to get. Play hard to get so he'll want you more. First of all, so here's my story. So when I first met my husband, this book, The Rules, had come out, and I read The Rules. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go by the rules. So one of the rules was do not initiate calls because he's got to work hard to get you. So I am madly in love with my husband, even though I haven't said so yet. Then guy I was dating. But I'm playing it cool. I'm playing by the rules. If he texts me, I'll text him back. If he calls me, I'll call him back. Do I initiate a text? Yeah. No, I do not. Do I call him? No, I do not. And several weeks in, he says to me, and by the way, I'm crazy about him, right? Totally nuts about this guy. And he says, are you as into this as I am? And I was like, of course I am. Like, what? Of course. And he said,
right.
You never call me. And I feel like maybe you're not as into it as I am because you never reach out to me. So I took that rules book and I trashed it. I did not give it away. I trashed it because that's where it belonged. No, he already has you and you already have him. Don't make this a game.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, we never played games with each other from the beginning. So it feels weird to start playing games now. So they're saying I should move out and get my own place and make him like so that
please do not listen to your family.
Yeah.
Nicole.
I know.
What do you know in your heart?
I know.
What do you know in your heart about this boyfriend?
I know that he loves me and he cares about me and he's been nothing but supportive and consistent.
He loves you and cares about you. And it's been nothing but supportive. That's all you need to know.
And consistent too.
And consistent. Yeah. So if you start playing games with him now, it's gonna mess everything up. You gotta go with your heart. You gotta go with what you know, and all these ideas about making him work for it, and it makes men into these like things. It's actually it's a very awful way to look at guys, right?
Right. Well, I understand the thing of like, why buy the cow if you're getting the milk for free? You know that.
Okay, that's an antiquated.
Right?
Why buy the cow if you're getting the milk for free makes it sound like the only reason a guy would be with a woman is to have sex with her.
For the milk?
Come on. The milk.
Okay. Yeah.
He is not with you because of milk. He is with you because of you. So F that, Nicole. Do not listen to your family.
I agree.
Hey.
Yeah.
Listen to yourself.
Yeah, I got to get something else out too. They're really like obsessed with the fact that he's not into like giving gifts and stuff. So it was his mom's birthday and I went to 14 Carats and I got her like this nice bracelet. It wasn't that expensive. It was like $160. And he said something to me like, oh, babe, thank you so much for doing that. Can you just pick it up now and I'll give you the cash later? And he never like gave me the money for the bracelet and we gave it to his mom and it was from both of us. I wasn't going to like remind him about it. And then it was my dad's birthday and I ended up buying all the gifts from my dad.
Okay, wait,
I got to stop you.
So basically she's got another issue with her relationship where they bought a bracelet for his mom, her boyfriend's mom, and he never paid her what he owed. The thing is, you got to communicate. You got to say, hey, I just realized like you never paid me back for the bracelet. And just say it like that. He probably, he could have forgotten. Maybe it's just not the forefront of his mind.
I don't even really care about the money. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, I can afford it. $160 is not a big deal. I guess what my parents are worried about is they feel like he's taking advantage. Like, I would never ask for the money. And, like, I'm living at his place right now. I've been there for, like, 3 years. I don't pay rent.
Her parents think he's taking advantage. Okay, what do you know? First of all, you're living with him. You've described how emotionally generous he is. He's there for you. How is he taking advantage of you monetarily? Is he asking you for rent? No, you're living with him without paying rent. Who's taking it? If someone's taking advantage of someone from the outside, it would look like you're taking advantage of him. You're not taking advantage of him. He is not taking advantage of you. Your parents are thinking the worst of this guy. You've got to go with what you know to be true. So all of this we're talking about today is trusting yourself, trusting what you know. Yeah. And when you start having other people like give you... you know, their impression of someone that has nothing to do with what you know to be true about this person that you know intimately, you got to listen to yourself mm-hmm. and not to them.
Okay. Yeah, and I think a lot of their philosophies and ideas and opinions are coming from a very old school traditional mentality and what they experienced when they were dating, like, you know, 30 school. Years ago. And it's kind of, yeah, it's not really prevalent to what's happening now. And I mean, we're young. I'm 28. He's 33. We're just starting our lives. And it's okay if I contribute sometimes and buy groceries or whatever. I don't think
right.
that's wrong. And
it's appropriate.
Like, yeah, I think it's appropriate too. So, they think it's so wrong.
No, so, I think this could be a cultural thing
it's
as
like,
well. Yeah. So,
yeah,
Nicole,
it's a cultural thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's a cultural
yeah.
thing. You got to stay with what you feel is right, not what they tell you is right, but what you feel is right.
Yeah.
If you're living with him, of course you're going to occasionally get groceries or in normal
yeah.
times, take him out to dinner. You know, like be a
yeah.
partnership, not this sense of he's got to chase you and pay for everything and you know.
Yeah.
That is an antiquated BS way of being in a relationship.
Agree.
And it's about power struggle.
Agree.
It's about power struggle,
yeah.
not mutuality.
Yeah.
Okay, boy,
yeah.
was I on my,
thank you.
I'm not fired up.
Yay. I love it. Thank you so much. You empowered me a little bit to just be more in touch with what I believe is right and what I feel. And listen
yes.
less to everybody else, you know. And when I get these harassing text messages from my mom about all this shit, and to open my eyes, and she can't believe I bought the gift of the month. How should I deflect, or should I just say thank you for your input, and I'll
you
think
say,
about it?
You say, huh? I'll think about that. Don't even thank her.
Yeah. Okay.
Just say,
okay.
She's given me something to think
I'll
about.
I'll think about that.
She's,
okay.
She's saying, like,
okay.
how does she feel with her mom or parents when they give her these bad advices? You just say, you don't want to argue them. You're not going to win the argument. You say, you've given me a lot to think about. Well,
yeah.
you're going to think about
and,
it.
Yeah.
And you're going to go with what you know. You're just trying
yeah.
to shut them up.
Last night I told my boyfriend what happened. I told him what happened and what my family was saying. And then he was kind of like, I'm not going to fight it or tell you what to do. It's something that you need to figure out on your own. I'm really glad you're going through this because it's going to be a very growthful experience. Do you think I should follow up with him and just let him know that I thought about it? And
yes, absolutely.
You know, I realized that. Yeah.
When
okay.
in doubt. When if
okay.
she's asking if she should follow up with her boyfriend about a conversation. And the reality is when in doubt, communicate. When
okay.
in doubt, communicate.
When
don't,
in doubt,
don't communicate.
I'm gonna
find
write that
out.
Down.
Yeah. When
okay.
in doubt, communicate.
Thank you.
You are so
my
welcome.
Mentor, my... Thank you so much, Dr. Anita. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Bye, Nicole. Thanks for calling.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye. Okay, so Jose had left a message in Instagram, basically, which I can't see right now. Let's see. Gonna try to up. Oh, there it is. Question is, can you talk about the beauty social ideals, meaning that some people shame other people just because they're not fit, but they get approval only when they are fit? Yeah. This is, and I know Jose, I know you're in, as a fashion designer, you're in the fashion industry, and this is probably even more prevalent there. You know, I think that we collectively have to challenge these ideas instead of just adhering to the society's ideas of this is what beauty is, this is what fit is. I mean, my goodness, when I was growing up, the only models you saw were blonde, blue-eyed, skinny, tall women. Like that was it. That was the standard of beauty. And then of course it began to change actually when I was, you know, coming of age and we had, you know, Naomi Campbell and different people, different, the standard of beauty began to be more inclusive. and not so exclusive. And so, especially as a fashion designer, I guess, you know, the kind of models that you hire, you could actually use that as a forum to say, look, there is not just one standard of beauty. Why is fit? Why are you better? I understand that, you know, as a fashion designer, you might want a certain body type for certain types of clothes. So no pressure. But I think as a society, we have to challenge the notion of what is beautiful. Is beautiful just some emaciated person, or is beautiful in guys like someone with an 8-pack, you know, abs? Like, why is it that we think that? And why is it that we are always striving for some kind of perfection? And what does it distract us from? So, Jose, I get how frustrating it is to look at your where is it? Okay. Some people shame other people just because they're not fit. Yeah, I think we got to call the shamers out. You know, if people are shaming other people because they're not fit, if people are shaming anyone, that is not okay. It is not okay to make people feel bad about themselves. And so you can challenge that. You know, what does that shame sound like? Challenge it. Instead of defending it, say, why do you think that this is the only way that a person is supposed to look? Why am I better if I'm fit and I'm not as good if I'm not as fit? Where do you even get those ideas? Like, we get those ideas because we're bombarded with social media, photoshopped, filtered, social media and media photoshop filtered, people that don't listen. I know a lot of models. They do not look like they look in pictures. They just don't. And so a lot of what we get is this notion of living up to some ideal that isn't even reality unless you have a team of people around you who are doing your hair and makeup, even airbrushing abs. Guys have said that they've had guy models have told me like airbrushed, accentuated their abs. I mean, we're more than just what we look like. And we have to just collectively as a society challenge these ideas that we're not good enough if we don't meet some made up idea of perfection. By the way, it keeps changing. In Marilyn Monroe's day, as I've said before on the show, Marilyn Monroe, at the height of her fame, when she was considered the sexiest woman on the planet, guess what? She would be considered plus size today. Marilyn Monroe, who was considered so, so, so sexy. These days, plus size, which, by the way, can we come up with a different term? So that shows that it's just a social construct. And then 10 years later, whenever, Twiggy was all the rage, right? So it's all made up. So why don't we have a more inclusive idea of what is acceptable? And, our bodies are business. That's what I say to that. So I guess having a conversation with shamers, just challenging them. Where do you get that idea? Because if you're only going to feel good about yourself because of you've maintained some level of fitness, then you're always having to work so hard to keep feeling good about yourself. But when you feel good about yourself on the inside, and sometimes you're more in shape, sometimes you're less in shape, but you feel good about you, then you're going to have a feeling of well-being more often. And then when we feel good about ourselves, we're less likely to use food to escape ourselves, to cope, to soothe, to do all the things that we use food for. Brene Brown says, rather than give in to the triggers being pressure to look a certain way for women, and for men, fear of being perceived as weak, You're welcome, Jose. I hope I answered your question effectively. Let me know if you have any follow-up questions. He's texting me in Instagram. She says, rather than give in to these triggers, than to focus on your what you look hello. Like. Or, oh, hello. Hello.
Good morning. Oh. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Carly Gash.
Carly Gash, hello. Thanks for calling the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing, like, honestly, very weird. It's just this days became like one endless dream where I do nothing but just eat and sleep. And as you know, I'm binging on cakes, which remind me of home.
Carly Gash, Carlos, I'm sorry, I've got to stop because I've got to sort of sum up what you're saying so that people on Instagram can know, because they can't hear you just because I'm not set up. So people watching on Instagram, she is in this sort of place where she's eating and sleeping and binging on cakes that remind her of her home country. Okay, sorry, Carly Gash.
Thank you, no problem. So, and I just was listening to what you said before I called about body shaming, and if I feel good only when I exercise well and I athletically feel good, then it's gonna be like a trap.
Okay, so I gotta fill people in, right? Okay, so she's saying that she wanted to call because of body shaming. She feels good about herself only when she feels good about her body. And hi, Kim. Okay, so you feel good only when you feel good about your body, which is, again, that main shame trigger for women. So you feel good about yourself only when you look a certain way.
Well, for me, I don't, maybe at this point, I don't care that much what other people will say. I think I care about the voices in my head. For me, like, not being able to maintain like a fit shape means that I failed all my missions in life.
Okay. That's so important to say. So Carly Gash is saying if she doesn't maintain a fit shape, a fit appearance, she has failed all her missions in life. So you can see what a horrible setup this is, Carly Gash, that your whole sense of yourself, your future, your sense of self-worth is somehow tied to your fitness.
To my body, right?
To your body.
I gained weight when I was 13 before I was like perfectly fit like kid. And then since then, I was dreaming about the day when I shed all these fat layers off and will have this light body where I can jump and run.
Okay, so she when she was 13, she gained weight and it was a horrible time for her. So maybe, Carly Gash, when you gain weight now, or you're not at your most fit now, it takes you back to that place of being like 13 and feeling bad about yourself. And maybe some other feelings of 13 get stirred up.
Well,
what else were you feeling at 13?
I feel helplessness because I was 13 and I had like terrible living conditions and like bad family members. And I feel helplessness because I couldn't make money. I used to work though. I used to make money actually and provide for myself to some extent.
So Carly Gash is saying that the overpowering feeling that she associates to being 13 was being helpless and powerless. And I want to just connect that to what we're all dealing with right now in this coronavirus time, which is a sense of powerlessness and helplessness and maybe anxiety, because there's only so much we can do. We are helpless in a way. We are helpless to stop the spread. We can only do what we can do, social distancing, but it only works so well, right? You don't know who might be infected and asymptomatic. So it could it be that there's something about the what is happening in our world right now that is activating that same sense of powerlessness. And then that gets connected to shame.
I think so. I think now when you were talking about it, it just dawned on me that all this, what's going on in the world, I, by the way, not don't freak out because I'm from like CIS countries. I've seen worse. But I think what's going on right now, it's just, I feel like it's like a deadline. Like, and I, in my head, I'm telling myself, see, Carly Gash, you did make it. Like, you're 35 turning 36. You did make it. See, if a crisis happened and you're not ready, you don't have a house.
Okay, I got it. Okay, so what she's saying is, this is what she's saying to herself, and this is how she's saying it. See, Carly Gash, you're not ready for this crisis. You have enough money in the bank. You're not prepared. You. Carly Gash, what do you notice about the way you're talking about talking to yourself?
It's the second person, and I realize it when I state sometimes, but it's like, it feels so like deep inside, as if like it's woven into me.
It's a voice from someone else. When you start talking harshly to yourself, especially...
I don't have to, right?
When you start talking harshly to yourself, that is not your voice. You know, would you say, see, I'm not prepared. I don't have this or that. I'm turning 36. No. So
no.
when you, not just you, but everyone listening, when you talk to yourself in second person, unless you're saying something nice, like you got this, which most people don't do, you're doing great. No, most people don't talk to themselves that way. They say what you say, Carly Gash. You're not good enough. You didn't do this, and you did too much of that, and not enough of this, and you this, and you that. That is the voice usually of somebody else. Somebody who talked to yourself that way.
I have very important questions.
Yeah.
I have very important questions. So with all this self-work, I notice when I interact with people, I kind of cannot keep my identity in my sense of self. Whatever they say about the world, their ideas, or about me, I just take their points so quickly, as if I think that I don't know enough, or I maybe don't live good, and all these thoughts come that, well, I'm an immigrant, it's my third language, whatever, whatever, and then. It's
okay,
like
she's comparing herself.
Carly Gash, I gotta
sum up. So when other people say things to her, she takes their ideas as, are you saying that you're taking their ideas as truths about you more, and that is more powerful than what you feel about you?
About everything, about the world, me, and then it takes time to come back to normal thinking.
Yes, I think you have to be in a place of being very aware and to be able to say, wait, what do I think? Do I agree with that? Because what you're saying is they'll say, well, I believe this. And then you'll say, oh, maybe I should believe this. That kind of a thing? Yeah. So instead of, well, maybe I should believe what you believe.
Not I should believe. I don't even mentalize thinking. I guess I'm just still like a kid. I'm hopping on emotions. And whoever emotion is stronger, whoever is shouting louder, whatever, I take it as truth, like on some subconscious level. Because my family, in my family, like, you were right when you were just shouting and fighting louder and stronger.
Okay, so she's saying that when people start saying things in a really impassioned, loud way, she tends to believe it and just associate it to that that when she was growing up, the person who was right was basically the person who was loudest. So knowing that right now, Carly Gash, you're going to have to really use your mind and to be aware and think about it. Oh, this person is...
How do I do this when I'm in the moment? Like, just remind myself, or
what do like, I think? Wait. What do I think? Do I agree with that person? Or maybe
be aware in advance before talking to anyone.
Yes.
Just like prepare myself. Say, hey, I'm gonna talk to somebody, like my roommate or whatever guy, or like grocery store employee, whoever, and just come with my own world and not let it be broken.
It's like this.
Like
It's like this. You got to think a lot at this stage. But it's sort of like when you learn to play an instrument, like when you learn to play the piano.
I'm building you got to think. I understand.
Yes. So you've got to be really aware of, okay, I'm interacting with this person. Let me hold on to myself. Let me question what they say. Let me take this in. Let me make sure that I'm not falling into that trap of they're louder, so they're right. Thinking about it a lot will help you stay with you. Just like, and then eventually it just becomes second nature. Just like at first when you play the piano, you have to think which finger goes with what key, and like you're really in your mind a lot. And then eventually you just sit down and you play the piano. So Carla Gesch, will you call back and let me know? Because we just ran out of time on the show, unfortunately. But will you call back and let me know how it goes? And just really be staying in that place of awareness?
Of course, I will do my best. Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. Your help is so priceless. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. I will talk to you soon. Just take your own side. Take your own side.
Take my own side. That's what I needed. Thank you. Take my own side. Thank you.
Yes. You are so welcome. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I am so glad to spend this time with you during these crazy times and at all times. If you'd like more food for thought, please check out my website, Dr. Nina Inc. That's DrNinaInc.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Dr. Nina Inc. Be sure to sign up for my free guides and giveaways so you'll be the first to know what I've got coming up in the next weeks and months. And also, this is a time for community. This is a time when we're in our houses, we're separated from ourselves. I have a community of people from all over the world, literally on Facebook. Please reach out and join us. It's Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. And I welcome you and look forward to seeing you there. And I will see everyone next week on the show. Thanks again. Stay safe and stay healthy. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.